everyone. Welcome to another episode of Hashing Out the Law. I'm your host, Ara Shashemi. On this episode, my guest is Barry Ross. Barry is a knight in shining armor, in my opinion. He is an attorney that helps homeowners fight against their homeowners associations. Hi, Barry. How are you? Barry.
I can hear you now.
Okay. How you doing, Barry?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So, like I said, you are a knight in shining armor, and you help homeowners fight against their homeowners association. Tell us a little bit how you got into that field.
Well, it's an interesting story. My daughter, who was 10 at the time, she's now 42. But at the time she was 10, but we live in and still live in a community called Woodbridge Village Association in Irvine, and they have a lake, and on the lake they have sailboats. So they were offering sailboat lessons to people. So my daughter wanted to sign up for a sailboat lesson, and she needed an adult to go with her for the sailboat lesson. So I agreed to go with her for the sailboat lesson. So I went to the lesson, saw like six or seven other couples there ready to get their sailboat lesson. And there were six or seven boats in the lake there ready to go out on the sailboat. But the instructor said there's problems with the boats. He said the problems with the boats is every boat has something wrong with it. One boat has a torn sail. Another boat has a broken rudder. Another boat has some other problem. Another boat leaks. So the instructor said he was going to jerry-rig parts from different boats to make one boat that would be functional for the lesson. So that's what he did. And then we had one boat available for all those people. So the instructor took out the people for about a 10-minute lesson. And I was anticipating we'd have an hour lesson with the whole group. But it was pretty disappointing. So at the end of the lesson, I told the instructor we should have decent boats here and workable boats. And he said, that's not my problem. You got to talk to the board of directors of the association. So I took that challenge. I went to the board of directors of the association and I told them about the boats, and they seemed to ignore me, and they said, we'll look into it, Mr. Ross. And I got the impression they weren't going to do anything. And apparently the president looked at my face and understood my impression. And he said, Mr. Ross, if you don't like the way we do things, you can run for the board yourself and get on the board of directors yourself. So that's what I did. I ran for the board of directors in the next election, and I was elected to the board. And the first thing I did for business was order new boats. I had to get the consent of the majority of the board to do that, but I did, because they weren't even aware of the fact the boats were mostly broken. So I got new boats, new sailboats for the lake, and now after that we had functional sailboats for everybody, and there's plenty of sailboats now. So I was on the board. It was a 2-year term. My plan was to get off the board after 2 years. But I didn't do that. I stayed on the board for 16 years. And the last 5 years, I was president. And the Woodbridge Village Association has about 10,000 homes and about 30,000 adult population and a $9 to $10 million annual budget. So it's kind of like running a small city. And it was a very interesting experience, and I really enjoyed it. And based on that experience, I transitioned my practice from real estate, which is not that far from homeowner association work, but I transitioned from real estate to homeowner association work. And that's how I ended up getting into homeowner association work. Also, when I served on the board of Woodbridge Village Association, I was assigned to all the legal matters that came in because I was the attorney on the board, and I was unpaid as an attorney. So here you had a free attorney working on legal matters of the association. And I worked with the association's general counsel, but I did some of the work. So that helped me with this transition of getting into homeowner association work.
So when you transitioned into homeowners association work in your practice, initially, did you represent the homeowners association or the homeowners themselves?
Now, from the very beginning, I wished to represent just the homeowners against the association. And that's what I did.
You were trying to pay back for all the dark work you did while you were on the board as a homeowner.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So you have an advantage because you actually know how the home association boards work because you were part of it for a long time and you know
Yes.
the ins and outs of it. That's amazing. Do you find it that it's hard from homeowners to fight against the homeowners association?
It's challenging, and that's really my task to evaluate the cases that come into me because a lot of people come to me with a problem with their homeowners association, and I find that there's nothing I can do for them because it's a political problem, not a legal problem. In other words, they want to see the board adopt a different policy, but the board doesn't have to adopt a different policy. And in many respects, it's not a legal issue, it's just a political issue. So a lot of times, prospective clients will contact me and I discourage them from proceeding with the case. But sometimes I'm contacted by people who do have a viable case against the association, and I can help them do that. But what my job is to make sure I pick the cases carefully so my clients can prevail in the case against the association.
That's great. And how long have you been practicing in that niche?
In that niche, 25 years, total area of practice, 50 years.
So you have a lot of experience when it comes to property law and homeowners association. So you are the man to go to.
I would think so, yes.
Now, Barry, one of the things that we wanted to talk about is your book. You wrote a book. Could you hold up so the viewers can see, and then could you tell the audio people what the name of the book is?
Sure. The book is Are You the King or Queen of Your Castle? Not if you live in a homeowners association.
Yes,
Oh.
and what inspired you to write this book?
Well, my wife did. My wife told me you should write a book about your cases because no one will ever believe that these cases existed because they were such bizarre and strange cases, and many of them were interesting cases as well. So she suggested I write a book about it, and I never had time to write a book about my cases. Unfortunately, my wife passed away 2 years ago from cancer, and after she passed away, I seemed to have a lot of time on my hands. So I used that time to write this book. And it took me a year to write the book. And it has chapters. Every chapter is another case that I handled on behalf of a property owner against an association. And there's 22 chapters in here.
I'm sorry to hear about your wife.
Oh, thank you.
But I think the book, in a way, is a way to remember her because she inspired you to write it. Am I correct?
That's correct. In fact, in the introduction to the book, I dedicated the book to her because it was her idea for me to write the book.
Now, where can we find this book? If I want to buy this book, where can I find it?
Oh, this book is available wherever you buy books, whether you go online for Barnes and Noble or Amazon or any other bookseller online, and it's available online. It's not available in the stores themselves, but it's available online through almost any bookseller. And you just go online and give them either the title of the book or my name, Barry A. Ross. And that will get you into the index that gets you this book. And the price on the book online is about $15.
And we're going to make sure to include the links to the book, both in the comment section of the YouTube version of this podcast and in the audio section in the description. So anybody who wants to buy the book. Now, Barry, what if I want a personal autograph, version of this book? Can I buy it directly from you, or the Amazon or Barnes and Noble are my only choices?
I can autograph the book whenever you want. I'd be happy to autograph it whenever you want.
Now, let's talk about some of these cases in the book. If you had to choose just one of those cases to talk about, which one would be your favorite?
My favorite one is this man who approached me, and he had this idea of producing a TV show. He had never produced a TV show before, but he had this idea that he thought would be marketable to the TV stations. And he explained the idea that he lives in a homeowners association and he wanted to interview his neighbors about what life is like in a homeowners association, also what life is like in their home among the family members. So this was an unscripted TV show where he would give the owners of the house kind of general ideas about what they should talk about. And then he just recorded them with their consent, of course. And he kept the recording in their house with their consent. So they knew they were being recorded all the time. And they talked about themselves and to each other. And they talked about the community association they were in and what they were doing and what they were not doing. And also their interactions with the neighbors. It didn't sound to me like a very riveting or exciting TV show, but I wasn't hired to evaluate the show. I was hired because the owner was having a problem with his association. And what was happening is this man was trying to produce this show in his house and in his neighbor's houses. And occasionally he'd have equipment outside on the street, like camera equipment, lighting equipment, cars, those kinds of things. And actors and actresses would be, the actors and actresses were the people who lived in the home. So it wasn't like we're bringing them in, but he had to bring in certain equipment. So the association sent him this is the association where he lives, by the way. The association sent him a cease and desist letter and said, you have to discontinue this movie making because this is in our CC&Rs, it says you're limited to residential activities. You're not permitted to do any commercial activities. And that's a standard provision in most CC&Rs. So he came to me to hire me to represent him so that he could complete his filming in the association, prevent the association from shutting him down. The association was threatening him with a lawsuit and an injunction to stop him from filming if he continued to do that. So I represented him and I communicated with the association attorney and we went back and forth. We never completely agreed on everything, but we eventually reached a settlement on the case. I asked the associate attorney, what are you most concerned about? So he said, the main thing we're concerned about, we want a definite completion date for this project. And we also want to make sure that nothing in the project identifies it as our association, because the association was concerned the TV show might portray the association in a negative light. So I said, we can do that. And the other thing the association wanted was they wanted all the future filming to be done inside instead of outside. So I said, okay, we can do those three things. We'll do the filming inside. We won't do anything that identifies the property as the association. No common areas of the association will be shown. We were going to give the association a compliment in the introduction, thanking them for their help, but we just took that out. So we're not giving them a compliment or anything. So we have nothing in the show that identifies this as an association. It is a high-end residential community association in Orange County. But the agreement was we wouldn't disclose it, and we didn't disclose it in the show, and it hasn't been disclosed in the show. We got a definite completion date, and we got that worked out. My client completed his filming, so he had a finished product to take to the producers to market his TV show, and he took it to the various TV stations to try to market his TV show, and he convinced a TV show to produce it, and they did produce it. And it ultimately, it changed names several times, but when it was actually produced for TV, it was known as Housewives of Orange County.
Wow. That's awesome.
And then after that, of course, after that it became, you know, Housewives of Los Angeles, Housewives of Boston. It recently became Housewives of Saudi Arabia. So it's all over the world. And my client doesn't have to work another day in his life from the show.
That's crazy. So you mentioned when he first came to you, you didn't think it was an interesting show, but it turned out to be a hit.
It turned out to be a hit. And I actually watched the first show and I still didn't think it was going to be a hit because it just seemed like you have these adult people are complaining about their life and their lifestyle. And it just didn't appeal to me too much. Didn't seem like something I would want to watch over and over again. But apparently there's an audience for that, and there was an audience for that. And my client saw it, and I didn't see it. So I got to compliment him as being a producer, and he compliments me on being his lawyer.
So are you currently his lawyer as well? Are you currently the show's lawyer?
No, I'm not the show's lawyer anymore. I just helped him on his HOA dispute, and once we resolved that, he took it to the next level himself.
Did you negotiate credits, your name in the credits and all the future shows?
Well, it's interesting. I did not, but my wife criticized me for not doing so. So that's something I had to answer to my wife for, but I didn't do that.
I see. So that's very interesting. That the way it led to it, it was like, wow, okay, Housewives of Orange County. What other cases would you say? Let me rephrase that. Your late wife had asked you to write a book because people would not believe these cases that ever happened. Tell me an example of one of those that's so outrageous that if I didn't know, or if you didn't know, I would think it's made up.
I had a case once where my client bought a RV. He lived in a homeowners association, and he parked it in front of his house for convenience, and he took it on trips. He was retired, so his main thing was going on vacations with his RV, and when he wasn't vacationing, he would be living at his homeowners association. So he kept it in front of his house. The association had a provision in their CCNRs that said no RVs are permitted to be anywhere in the community. It was very clearly written. There was no ambiguity about it. My client brought in the CCNRs, and I looked at it. And my client came in. He was already sued by his association for having the RV in front of his house at that point. So I looked at the lawsuit. I looked at the CCNRs. I talked to my client. I told him, you know what? You should move your RV out of the community and park it in some storage facility designed for RVs. And then when you need it, bring it in and load up your vehicle and go on your vacation. And maybe I can convince the association to drop their claim for attorney's fees if we can resolve it right now at the front end of this case. But my client said, no, he wasn't doing that. I said, why? He said, Mr. Ross, I've heard about your reputation suing HOAs, and you've got a stellar reputation. I think you can win this case. And I told him, I appreciate your compliment. I view myself as a competent attorney, but this case is going to be impossible to win. The CCNRs are crystal clear, and you're in violation. I don't see any way I can win this case, so I want you to move your car into your vehicle into an RV park or some other storage facility. And he said, no, he wasn't doing that. He wanted me to take the case, and he'd take his chances. If he lost, he lost. I explained to him if he lost, he'd have to pay the association's attorney's fees. He said, I understand that, but I want you to take the case, and I want you to do the best you can. So I thought this case was a losing case, and I couldn't convince my client not to proceed with it. So I documented this in a letter to the client, and then I said, okay, I'll take the case. And then I took it, and then I asked the client for the rules and regulations of the association. And the client gave me the rules and regulations of the association. The rules specified that the association had to go through 5 different steps before it filed a lawsuit. In other words, first it had to provide you with a written notice. Then they had to provide you with a hearing. Then they had to provide you with the results of the hearing. Then they had to publish the results of that hearing to the general membership. So there's all these steps that had to be done according to the rules before they could file a lawsuit. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, the association didn't do any of those steps. They just filed the lawsuit. So in a court case, I made a motion to dismiss the lawsuit because the association didn't follow the steps that were required in their own regulations. And the judge granted it, and the case was dismissed, and my client recovered attorney's fees against the association. Now, the interesting thing about this case is the association could have initiated the process all over again, started completing the 5 steps, and then proceed with a new lawsuit, but they never did it. So my client's RV is still in front of his house. And that's a case that I thought I would never win. So my client convinced me that I could win a case I didn't think I could win. So I was surprised by that.
He believed in you when you didn't believe in yourself.
Yeah, that's actually right.
That's awesome. So now let's say I have a case and I want to hire you. How do I find you?
Several ways to find me. Let me give you my phone number is 949-544-7585. And my address is 23161 Mill Creek Drive, Suite 300, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. And my website, if you want to not only find me, but read more information about me, is www.rossrealestatelaw.com.
Nice. I have all those informations. I'm gonna put them in the description, so everybody has your contact information. They can also purchase your book. Do you find writing books more enjoyable than practicing law, or do you still prefer to practice law over writing a book?
I prefer to practice law over writing a book. Writing a book was very difficult. And it may sound strange coming from a lawyer, especially talking with a fellow lawyer, but it was very difficult because normally when you write legal documents, you write them once, you go back and you look at them and you edit them, and then you may revise it once or twice, and that's it. With writing a book, I had to read and reread each chapter, each article I wrote, probably about 5 or 6 times, because each time it went to the editor came back with some questions and comments and grammatical changes. And each time it required re-editing. And it was a very tedious, difficult project. At some points, I was tired of rereading the book again and again, but I had to force myself to reread the book several times to get all the errors and mistakes eliminated and try to get everything as correct as possible. So it took a long time to edit, do editing, even though I had a publisher that helped me with it. It was very tedious and difficult. So like I said, it took me about a year. And then there were certain points where I got what might be described as writer's block, where I wanted to write another chapter, but I just couldn't do it for some reason. My brain wasn't in the right place. So then I had to get my brain in the right place to write another chapter. And eventually it happened. So eventually I had enough chapters. When I first submitted this to my publisher, I had 4 stories. The publisher says you got to come up with 20 stories to get a book. So I went to work on the 20 stories and I ended up with 22. But it was a lot of work. I find legal work much more satisfying than writing a book.
So is it safe to say you're not going to write another book?
I don't think I'll write another book. It's been suggested I write volume 2, and I've actually had some interesting cases since I wrote this book that would comprise the beginning of a second book. But I'd have to give some more thought before I pursue that, because it was a lot of work and took a lot of time, much more time and work than I anticipated. I appreciate authors much more.
You have a new learned love for them.
Yeah, that's okay. Right.
We're speaking to Barry Ross. He is an attorney. He helps people fight their homeowners associations and conflicts, and he's also an author. His book is called "Are You the King or Queen of Your Castle?" And not if you live in a homeowners association. It includes all past cases and experiences that he's had, and it's dedicated to his wife, who inspired him to write it. Mr. Ross, it's been a pleasure. I will make sure that we get a copy of your book. In fact, everybody who's on this podcast who has a book, we add it to our collection. We have a bookcase full of people who wrote books and were on this podcast, so we'll be sure to add yours, and then we'll be sure to include all your information for whoever wants to purchase your book or contact you. It was a pleasure. Before we sign off, Mr. Ross, anything else you want to add?
No, I thank you for having me on your podcast, and it was a pleasure meeting you and talking with you in the last half hour. Thank you.
You as well. You as well, Mr. Ross. Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.